Jackson, W266, DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
I'm Steve Kathan. News safety steps out today from the rail line Norfolk Southern. CBS's Roxana Saberi says it's a direct result of the preliminary findings of the toxic Ohio freight train crash last month.
Most of the steps at Norfolk Southern is promising relate to overheating wheels and wheel bearings, which appeared to be the culprit in the East Palestine derailment, according to a preliminary NTSB report there. The railroad operator said today it wants to look at increasing the number of detectors it uses along the tracks to sense when a train's wheels are overheating and to consider placing them closer together.
A second Norfolk Southern derailment in Ohio over the weekend is under investigation. In that instance, officials say there were no toxic leaks and most of the cars were empty. The FBI is offering a $50,000 reward for the safe return of four Americans who are being held in Mexico. CBS's Christina Ruffini.
This happened Friday in Matamoros, Mexico. It's a border town that's only about a 12-minute drive from Brownsville, Texas. The FBI says the four Americans entered Mexico driving a white minivan with North Carolina license plates. Shortly after crossing the border, gunmen opened fire on the passengers in the vehicle.
Well, last night in Rochester, New York, one person died, nine others were hurt, two of them critically during a crowd crush after a rap concert. Mayor Malik Evans says it happened when false reports of gunfire surfaced.
When you go to a concert, you do not expect to be trampled. Your loved ones expect you to be able to come home.
More than 30 people arrested in the Atlanta area when authorities say a crowd protesting a planned police training ground threw rocks and Molotov cocktails. CBS's Skyler Henry.
The entire construction site was on lockdown overnight as police looked to calm the tensions happening. This is just the latest in a series of incidents that have happened there. A series of protests and demonstrations calling for an end to the development of this cop city that's been the nickname here.
Parts of Kentucky still reeling from the severe storms that rolled through late last week. Some schools are closed today. Power lines are being repaired. In Lexington, Mayor Linda Gorton says
damage citywide is estimated in the millions of dollars.
In Southern California's snowy mountains, San Bernardino County Sheriff Shannon Dykus says getting roads clear to reach trapped residents is still a top priority.
We're having tractors come in and scoop the snow, having to drive it away, truck it out, and a number of other things, which makes the operation much slower.
Checking Wall Street right now, the Dow is up about 100 points. The S&P is up 29 points. This is CBS News.
Nobody should have to pay for one-size-fits-all insurance coverage. Liberty Mutual customizes your car and home insurance so you only pay for what you need. Liberty Mutual Insurance.
A progressive voice for rural Wisconsin. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
For Civic Media, I'm Jane Matnair. Here's what you need to know. A federal judge has ruled a now-closed Wisconsin Substance Abuse Center and its CEO owe the state and federal government over $2 million in a case of Medicaid fraud. The U.S. Department of Justice sued the Healing Center and Dr. Siamak Arasi in 2019 for allegedly ordering prescriptions for an anti-addiction drug in the names of former patients and then billing Medicaid for reimbursements. The Milwaukee Journal Sentinel reports Arasi allegedly stockpiled the drugs and then sold them to patients for $1,000 a month. Flu cases sharply up this year. So far, over 50,000 people in Wisconsin have tested positive for the flu, 39,000 more cases than the total last year. Health officials hoping we already saw the peak in December. Cases have slowed since then, but there's no guarantee we won't see another surge before the flu season is done. I'm Jane Matnair. This is Civic Media News.
Hey everybody, how we doing? I'm Charlie Behrens, inviting you to join me Saturdays and or Sundays at noon. It's a horse apiece, whatever you decide. We're doing the Cripescast, where we talk to people for and or from the Midwest, and it's more fun than a six-pack of Jolly Good. Okay, the pride of Random Lake, that Jolly Good is. Anyway, it's on your Civic Media station and the Civic Media app. And do me a favor, yeah, tell your folks I says hi. Okay, real good.
The Shaw 101 FM, Franklin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24-7 at waukradio.com.
This is Pat Greitlow from Up North News Radio. On the air, online, or on demand, make it a point to catch the first word on Wisconsin news, sports, and more weekday mornings from 6 to 8 all across the stations of the Civic Media Radio Network.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation. Yes. With I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which right. Was audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP, and we're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms. Yeah.
Oh. We're the winners.
Tune in for Dueling Tangents every weekday at 2.
Plenty of people start something great in their 40s and 50s. Getting your retirement savings on track is no different. Go to aceyourretirement.org, and in 3 minutes, you'll get personalized tips to help boost your retirement savings. That's aceyourretirement.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Bringing some sanity to the airwaves. The Shaw 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM.
Fun to drink with other Republican lawmakers. Todd also confirmed that Robin Voss has virtually no sense of humor.
You can always let us know if you're drinking with lawmakers at 844-967-2789.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time, this is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
Hello, Wisconsin! Happy Monday, March 6, 2023. We are live in Waukesha, ready to start a new week.
Yes.
Jane Matinair, how are you doing?
I'm great. Glad to see you.
Do you have a relaxing weekend? Are you ready for another week?
I am ready for another week. It was a relatively relaxing weekend, yes.
Good.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You were busy.
We were pretty busy. We had the Shamrock Shuffle on Saturday, which is my husband's big event that if anyone who has lived in Milwaukee in the last 14 years might be familiar with, whether you partook or you just tried to avoid 10,000 people in green shirts on a bar crawl. And this was the first year that it was basically back to the full capacity that it was. Because he snuck it in the beginning of March 2020.
Oh, no kidding.
And
just by a hair.
As far as, because it was always the first weekend of March. So it's like the first celebration in Milwaukee for St. Patrick's Day. And then we get a parade. We get actual St. Patrick's Day. You know, there's a lot of
celebrating.
For not being a quintessentially Irish town, it's a lot of celebrating for St. Patrick's Day in Milwaukee.
We embrace all parties.
It's something, probably something to do with the drinking. All right. So, so that was this weekend. Seemingly went off without a hitch as far as we didn't have any calls from the police or anything like that. But it was truly between water, 3rd Street, Brady Street, Walker's Point. There was a lot of green shirts out. But also, I mean, it was a huge weekend. There was a Bucks game at the Fiserv.
Yeah.
There was a Marquette game at
Big
the Fiserv.
Game, yep.
So it was a busy, people made money on Saturday or spent money.
That's good.
One of the two. So it was good. But now we're back with a full show. Very excited about it. So coming up on today's show, in the noon hour, did you know that there's 9 million voters that live abroad?
9 million?
I think so. At least that's the stat that is on the website for Democrats Abroad, which is an organization that helps and assists people who are still voting in the United States and are U.S. citizens who can vote, but living abroad. And so today we're going to be talking to Annie Grawl, who's on the Wisconsin State team for Democrats Abroad, to talk about some of the work that they do, kind of why it's so hard from their point of view to vote, even when you live abroad. And, you know, I think it's one of those things that for absentee voting by mail, that's only become so much part of the conversation since 2020 with the pandemic. But there's a lot of people who've been voting by mail, whether they're military or people who just live abroad.
Oh, yeah.
For a long time. So I think talking about what they would like to see change to make that easier. And so that's coming up at noon. And then at 12:30, we're going to be talking to Jesse Apoyan and Scott Girard, who are, Jesse is the Capital Bureau Chief at the Cap Times, and Scott is the K through 12 education reporter for the Cap Times. A month ago, the article's a little old now, but it gives really good context to the school funding debate where we find ourselves now. So the title of that is that what they published on February 1st in the Cap Times is "School Funding Hangs in the Balance of Wisconsin Budget Debate." And so they're going to be here because I think they did a really good job of laying out the different arguments, laying out how we got here as far as revenue caps and Act 10 and the debate about kind of expanding on the conversation we had with CJ Safer last Thursday. Mm-hmm. And the kind of combination between, you know, we've been behind because school funding hasn't been tied to inflation. And so there's not overnight just that even if, which probably won't happen, but even if Governor Evers got the budget that he's asking for, would that make up for the amount of loss that there's been over the last 12, 15 years? But then simultaneously, how much should that be tied to reform? Where does vouchers play in all of this? And so as two reporters who come at this at a much more objective stance than advocacy policy people who, because this is it's a heated issue. People,
yes, it is.
People get fired up about schools with good reason because it's important. But yeah, I'm really looking forward to getting their insight and kind of foundational understanding of what the debate is. And then in the last hour, have you heard of Bare Minimum Mondays, Jane?
I have not.
Well, we're going to talk about what they are. They may not be feasible for everyone, but maybe what we could take from this idea of a Bare Minimum Monday and apply to our life. Not everything's going to be applicable, but I'm excited to hear your thoughts because I have a prediction that you are going to audibly roll your eyes.
I never do that. What do you mean?
Oh, but to start off with the newsy hour is not news about Wisconsin, but kind of potentially what could have been in Wisconsin. We are one Republican governor away from being in a similar situation that it seems like Florida now finds themselves in.
Yep.
And to be fair, Florida voted overwhelmingly for Ron DeSantis in his last election. And so the question is, for the people who didn't vote for him and who are not on board with the sweeping changes that he is pushing through, which we will get to in a second. At what point do you move? Is my question. And I think Wisconsin saw some of that under Scott Walker for people who were very much against everything that he was doing. And so the bigger question that I want to ask the audience as we continue to talk about this is how much, whether you want to speak for yourself or in mass, how much do the politics of the place that you call home, you can be pissed off about it, but how much does it actually impact your decision to move entirely? And because, you know, Florida has seen, it's one of the fastest growing states right now.
Which continually blows my mind.
You know, and it was funny because for the weekend, Mike's cousins were in town, or cousin and his wife, and they are traveling physical therapists. And so it's been great for them, right? They've gotten to see different parts of the country, but right now they're in like Palm Beach and they're from Wisconsin. Well, she's from Illinois. He's from Wisconsin. And I asked him, like, so he's like, it's so nice there. It's so nice. And I was like, well, is it beyond the weather? Is it like, is there other stuff that you find really appealing about it without the weather? And he goes, well, no, like in other, if you take a weather away, it's, you know, it's where they're at is like one of the highest.
It's a pretty wealthy
area. It's a really wealthy area. It's mostly retired people. It's very chill. But he was, you know, it's the weather for most people, right? And so I get that. I get there's no income tax, the weather, and like how much do you justify the politics if they're not your politics?
And if it doesn't affect you.
And if it doesn't affect you, you're fine. And so let me go through my question if you want to call in or you want to text in kind of on this question of I'm going to go through what the details are, but think about where's the line when the politics get so bad that you would think about moving.
I've had enough. Right?
Yeah. 844-967-2789. That's 844-96-PARTY. So, proposed Florida laws are about to get even further, go further to the right. So, their legislative session starts tomorrow, and GOP lawmakers in Florida have unveiled a suite of bills that are delighting conservatives.
I'm sure.
And worrying progressives, free speech groups, and civil rights leaders. And, you know, a lot of this, at least according to the New York Times article I found on this, is setting the stage for Ron DeSantis to have a platform to run on.
For
president in 2024.
So he'll be the, education reformer?
Well, it's more than just education. So the bills include, and we'll go over some of the things he's already done, but the bills include a ban on gender studies majors and minors in higher education, open up media organizations to more libel lawsuits, create a universal school choice voucher program, and a concealed carry weapons bill that Floridians who do not have felony arrests or certain arrests related to substance abuse could carry a firearm without the current permit requirement.
I've just got to stop you for substance abuse, yes, but domestic violence, no.
Doesn't sound like it.
Okay.
Yeah. And the state now, just to go a little bit further on that one, the state now requires anyone seeking a permit to undergo background checks, fingerprinting, and training course, and to fire a gun in front of an instructor. But this would
get rid of all that. Why would you want that?
And, you know, this is on top of the Don't Say Gay bill. This is on top of the 2022 budget provision that allowed him to spend $12 million to transport migrants out of Florida. He's requested another $12 million to do the same. There's now 31 million and 27 new positions for the state's Office of Election Crimes and Security, which was created last year to investigate election fraud. And with that $31 million, there has been 20 arrests since August.
20.
There's been 20, but shortly after judges dropped charges on most of them. And so we can get a little bit further into the frustration that these bills, and a little bit more detail that the bills that they're proposing and likely are going to be greenlit easily.
Pretty easily. Oh, yeah.
But I think it comes back to, does this dissuade anyone? Obviously, it attracts some people. Some people, there's obviously a base who is for all of these things.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's the majority. Even if, you know, in a binary choice between Republican, Democrat, there are a lot of moderates in there who, for whatever reason, choose a Republican, but they're not all in on this kind of conservative agenda, right? And so for others, like, at what point does it change your mind about whether or not you're going to live there? All right, we'll be back in a minute. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Leprechauns and Wisconsinites have a lot of things in common. We both look good in green. Chicks dig our accents.
You're cute.
And we all love what's on the other side of the rainbow. Get your pot of gold when you sponsor our hourly weather forecasts on your local civic media station.
That's 24 ads per day. One ad every hour right before the latest weather forecast.
And right now, the prices on these premium sponsorships are slashed up to 50%. But you must act before March 15th to take part. Log on to civicmedia.us/weather now. That's civicmedia.us/weather.
Suddenly, my quarterback is the number one trending topic. Why, you might ask, is Aaron Rodgers trending on Twitter? He's out this game. He's got COVID-19. And to my perception, he freaking lied to us, man. I'm very frustrated that he is not eligible to play this Sunday, especially when you find out your quarterback is a half a Trumpster. And he claims, ah, I'm not a flat earther, I'm not an anti-vaxxer. I just play one in the NFL. That pisses me off, man. I was going to bet on that team. Maybe. New time, 3 to 6 p.m. And Dom!
My Alzheimer's diagnosis was hard to take.
But early detection allowed us to take control of the situation together.
Talk to your family about seeing a doctor. Go to alz.org/time to talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Cloudy skies expected this afternoon with daytime highs approaching 44. Northerly winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Overcast again tonight. Lows level off around 31. Daytime highs approaching 40. Tomorrow, ample sunshine expected. Cloudy skies expected Wednesday with daytime highs approaching 38. 36 Thursday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 41 degrees.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk. From Muskego to Pewaukee, always streaming at waukradio.com.
Here's the news, coming to you every hour on the hour.
Here's the news.
The weather's fine, but there may be a meteor shower.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinere. We are here on this Monday asking the question, how, for the average person, and maybe not even for the average person, but how bad do things have to get in your point of view before you're like, I can't live here anymore?
See, and I think what makes Florida unique, though, is the number of retirees who go there.
Mm-hmm.
Again, because of no income tax and the weather and not having to shovel. And I don't know that they care about education because they're old.
Yeah.
And I don't know how many of these other, reproductive rights, probably not too concerned about that. You're over 60.
Yeah. And I think that's kind of my point as far as who's affected. How much does it take till it affects you to say, because sometimes even when it does affect you, obviously moving is not easy.
And it's expensive.
And leaving your friends and family, if you're from that place, is not easy. And so it comes back to, it's up to you to elect the people that you want to elect and representational government and everything like that. But I just think, I remember asking a girlfriend of mine who lives in Houston. And this was October 2021, and they had just passed their 6-week abortion civil lawsuit. You can sue anyone who potentially helps someone get an abortion law. And she's my age. At that point, she had just had her second kid, married, kids, job, very... And I would say is aware of the news, watches the news, doesn't work in the news or in politics in the way that I do.
She keeps up on it, though.
Yeah. And certainly more left than her husband's a little bit more right. She's a little more left. And we were on a walk because we were on like a girls trip or something. And I asked her, what is it like to, because it was everywhere in the news, right? That was a huge deal when that first happened, not only just because of reproductive freedom, but it was also the nature of that bill was wild as far as anyone, it's just putting a bounty on people, right? And so to me, it was such a big deal. So many people were talking about it. And I asked her, I was like, what is it like to live there right now? Does it feel any different? Are people talking about it in your life?
Right.
And like, no.
No.
Not really. That's kind of what she said. It's just the reality of her world is she's not a young person who's going to get pregnant. She's kind of consumed with her routine and her kids and her job, and she can disagree with it, but it doesn't change anything.
Right.
And it just makes me think when we, as progressives, as left people, and it goes both ways. I'm sure there's people want to rip their hair out. I'm sure conservatives, when they look at things in California or Massachusetts or Connecticut, are like, oh my God. But the point of which for some of these, I mean, so for some of these programs, like the higher education bill, where they're limiting what you can major in. And the after effects of that is less people choose Florida schools.
And what about the value of Florida schools?
Totally.
Is that going to, you know, lessen their stature? Why do I want to go to a university that limits what I can learn?
Totally. But even the defamation bill for Florida media outlets and how much more vulnerable it makes them to do reporting based on their ability to get sued. The voucher. It's interesting because like we obviously have the voucher debate here, and at least in. I mean, what's interesting there, though, is that not only is it money to go. So this is the interesting thing for their voucher bill. Critics obviously are saying it would defund public schools to a dangerous extent, but it would make vouchers that are currently worth about $8,200 a year to K through 12 students with few eligibility restrictions. So you laughed at your money going to private
religious schools.
So it would not only be able to be used on private and religious schools, but also for homeschooling,
what?
Private tutoring, and other education related expenses.
Wait. For homeschooling?
Yeah.
That's absurd.
So like I think about that and it's the 20-year view of what does this do to our education system and like our like educated populace. And also concealed carry is scary for some people, right? And so some of these obviously impact a bigger proportion of the population than others. But it just that's kind of when I read this, because obviously right now, for at least the next 4 years, we have a veto pen with Governor Evers, and like a lot of the more extreme stuff is not going to happen here. But it does bring up the question as far as, do most people just not think about this and it just is what it is and you can vote and maybe move to an area in your state that feels a little bit more aligned with your politics. But beyond that, does it ever get so bad that you're motivated to actually leave the state?
Well, I think for parents of children and certainly parents of queer kids and trans kids, they have a big incentive to get out of there.
I know.
They do.
I know. And the question is, like, can they?
Can you afford it?
Can you afford it? And, like, where do you go? Because, I mean, especially once you're in that case, you have to move pretty far. Like, if you're in the South and you're trying to escape in any of the reproductive rights bans and laws or some of these, like, anti-trans, anti-LGBTQ laws that are coming down the pipe, like you got to move pretty far. It's not just like the state over anymore.
Right.
And so I don't know, but that was what was on my mind this Monday morning. When we come back, a masterclass and the GOAT that is Jon Stewart. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
The Sha 101 FM, Brookfield's choice for news talk radio, streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
CBS News Brief. New action after the toxic train wreck in Ohio from the rail line.
Norfolk Southern announced today a 6-point plan to increase safety, including adding 200 temperature detectors on tracks and other sensors which would analyze vibrations for potential problems.
CBS's Cammy McCormick says another freight derailment in Ohio over the weekend is being investigated. One person dead, others hurt after some in a crowd leaving a rap concert in Rochester, New York, heard that shots might have been fired. Police Chief David Smith.
Preliminary reports from people at the scene indicate that these injuries were caused from people being trampled. We do not have any evidence of gunshots being fired.
More than 30 people arrested in the Atlanta area as a protest over a police training ground got out of hand.
They're planning on building a cop city, obviously, and we're trying to reclaim the space.
Police say rocks and Molotov cocktails were thrown at them. CBS News Brief. I'm Steve Kathan.
The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK, 540 AM, Waukesha's only news talk station.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know. After more than a month, about 60 people near Lac des Flambeaux are still blocked from driving to their homes. The Lac des Flambeaux Band of Lake Superior Chippewa put up roadblocks at the end of January. The roads are largely within the historical boundaries of the tribal reservation in Vilas County. Frustrations over the land dispute are growing. The race for Wisconsin Supreme Court is the most expensive in U.S. history at close to $19 million and counting. That includes the money raised by the campaigns themselves and outside groups.
Money is there just to get the message out. And I want all of Wisconsin to hear exactly what I'm saying and exactly what Janet's saying.
That's Dan Kelly on Capital City Sunday. His opponent, Janet Protasiewicz, blames the U.S. Supreme Court Citizens United ruling. In sports, the Badgers beat Minnesota last night. The Bucks beat Washington. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
Civic Media promised you something big to celebrate our new and still growing network of radio stations. When we announced the one-day $1 million advertising giveaway for Wisconsin businesses, you responded.
Just wanted to echo your sentiments about the advertising. That's really a cool deal and really remarkable.
$1 million of free advertising. Now, if you missed this chance to work with our team, go to civicmedia.us and click on the sponsorship tab. One of our local sales pros will get right back to you. Civicmedia.us and sponsorship.
Monday morning at 8, don't miss Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring legendary Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Football, life, and fun.
Earl, you've been driving a Yugo. They just gave you a brand new Ferrari with turbo boost. So enjoy it, brother.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Monday morning at 8 on The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK.
Charged, never convicted. The Devil's Advocates.
Jim Santel for just a few more minutes. As you point out, this is a civil trial, not a criminal trial. You think that the Trump org will end up with the death penalty under New York law.
Letitia James, she's doing a civil case, right? This is a criminal matter.
Oh, it is. So I misunderstood.
It is, yes.
Normally I leave the being wrong to Dom.
Right?
Listen Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m. for the Devil's Advocates radio show.
My Shiro always goes the extra mile, stretches every dollar, puts others first. But now it's your time, Mom. Get free tips to help boost your retirement savings now at aceyourretirement.org.
Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Are my babies coming home tomorrow? Ain't that good news? Man, ain't that news? Baby's coming home tomorrow. Ain't that news? Man, ain't that news? I gotta let
it. Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Madnair. And boy, oh boy, is Jon Stewart just the GOAT.
Isn't he?
Gosh.
Yeah.
And, you know, we talked a little bit last week about Hasan Minhaj and how great of a job he did last week on a variety of different topics, because he really stuck it. Who's the bald guy from Shark Tank? Kevin something. I forgot what his name is, but they had he gives like financial advice, and like Hasan like kind of gave it to him. Was like, you know, when you're talking about people's wallets and the individual situations that they're in, like you got to be careful. And it was interesting of like how, I mean, especially now as someone who interviews people and is also innately a people pleaser, and the ability, it's one thing to be able to debate like this, but also just take it to someone that hard. And so basically what had happened was, so I would say, I don't know the numbers of how many people are watching Jon Stewart's new show. It's called The Problem with Jon Stewart. It's a podcast. It's also a show on Apple TV. It is been criticized because it's not as, it's certainly not as funny as The Daily Show.
No, it's not, but I think that's by design.
Yes, and I would say while it's funny because it's still Jon Stewart calling BS and his quick wit and his quick analogies that make it breaks it down for you, but it is much more serious in nature and it taps in, I think, much more to his activist side than his comedian side.
Yep.
And he had clips last year that went viral with the attorney general from Arkansas and how he kind of cornered her into basically admitting that she didn't know what she was talking about when it came to medical, what the medical, all of the medical boards say when it comes to trans youth and
the best care, way to treat them
and the care that they should be getting. And she kind of, she really showed her butt. And so you'd think as a staffer who's aware of the media, you maybe wouldn't serve your state senator up on a platter to be interviewed by Jon Stewart. Right? Like, this is kind of goes back to Better Know a District. This was on the Stephen Colbert Show.
Oh, yes.
When unknowingly, you know, congressmen from across the country would go on the Colbert Report and be interviewed by him and just be embarrassed.
without realizing it.
Without realizing it. And then I think people started to catch on and I don't know how many they got out of before people were like, yeah, we're probably not going to come out of this looking good.
Let's not do this interview.
But on Friday, an episode of The Problem, I think it was the first episode of this season, and he grilled a pro-gun, anti-drag show Oklahoma State Senator Nathan Dom, who wants existing controls loosened. This is in Oklahoma, so yeah. You can probably imagine what the gun laws are in Oklahoma.
Pretty loose already.
To encourage increased gun ownership. So we broke this down, and we're going to take it clip by clip. We couldn't even, I highly encourage you to go watch the whole thing. It's already been viewed over almost 9 million times.
It's really, really well done.
So we'll just start with, they talked about the number of guns in the U.S.
You're saying more guns makes us more safe.
Yes.
So when we got 400 million guns in the country, we had an increase and gun deaths went up. So when exactly does this curve hit that takes it down? Would a billion guns do it?
Let's just run those numbers. You know, 400 million, 50,000.
Uh-huh.
You're talking about a less than a fraction of not even a percent, of a hundredth of a percent.
But it goes up, not down. So your argument is backwards.
But if you want, okay, so let's come up with a solution. Okay, so one of the issues, a contributing factor, again, I believe it's the individual that is the problem.
So your solution to that is give them more guns.
Ha.
Huh. Ha. Huh. So it's the individual.
That's the problem.
Not the gun.
Not
let's
the weapon.
Let's focus on the individual. So what do we need to do to focus on the individual?
Because people are the problem, we need to look at the problems that those people are facing and how do we address it.
For instance, you've removed the ability for the state to do that.
No. Because you're...
If you don't have background checks, mm-hmm. and you don't have registration and permitting, how do you know who has a problem in terms of the people who you're giving a gun to? What you're doing is you're bringing chaos to order.
That's your subjective opinion, that it's bringing chaos to order.
It's not my subjective opinion. We have 50,000 gun-related deaths. That's not a subjective opinion.
Okay, so...
That's dead people.
He does that a couple times throughout this. The state senator does. It's like, that's your opinion. And it's like... No, those are numbers.
Those are factual numbers, yes.
And so then he points out another major cause of death in the U.S.
If we're going to talk about protecting lives, that's a larger issue in America than guns is. If we're talking about individual lives of ways that they can be protected, loss of life in America, there's loss of life through fentanyl. There's loss of life through obesity. The obesity crisis in America costs six times the number of lives as guns.
Right. And so, you're the guy saying, you know what would help this? Ice cream.
No. So you know what would help the problem that we're facing with firearms?
What?
The fatherlessness crisis that we have in America.
What? This is where, because I've heard this argument before at another place that we've worked.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is the parents. No one knows how to parent. How are you going to legislate better parenting? You're going to lock people up if they get divorced? You know, like, lock people up when they get locked up because they can't be there anymore? Like, you can point to this, like, vague thing as far as, you know, parents, like, having two parents in the house and all of these different things. But what are you gonna, so what do you do to fix that? You're going to force people to not get divorced? Like, what are you talking about as far as that being an avenue? If you're saying that that's a cause, fine. One, I don't believe you. But two, how do you fix that then? Anyways, so he goes on to keep talking about fatherlessness.
This is Senator, State Senator Nathan Dom, who is from Oklahoma, talking to Jon Stewart Friday night on The Problem with Jon Stewart on Apple Plus.
If you look at the statistics.
Right. Yeah, they're dying from gun deaths.
80% of school shooters either came from a broken or fatherless home.
So you would say no guns for fatherless homes?
No, that's not what I would say. Oh. I would say that fathers need to be more engaged.
Great. So let's...
Crime,
let's
with a firearm
more,
if they don't have a father in the
home.
Let's
put more resources into areas that are poverty-stricken. All for it.
And into fatherlessness. And that's something that we're doing.
But why with guns are you against bringing order?
I'm not against bringing order.
You are. You're also making it less safe.
I would love to know more about his measures to increase fathers' involvement with their children and how again, as you said, how you legislate that.
Like, how do you legislate better parenting? I mean, that's a real question, right?
It is.
Because I've heard conservatives make this argument as far as it being, you know, the stain on the fabric of our society is parenting. But okay, how do you moderate? I mean, how do you legislate that at all?
One would almost think that it would require some punitive measures against men.
that's a different conversation, but. Okay, so then we move on to, this is why, like, you have to watch the whole thing because we're kind of breaking it up just to take it, like, the best pieces for us, I think, bringing it out. But so then we're talking about, because his whole argument is that more guns, his being the state senator, more guns means things are safer.
Yes, more guns are better.
So then how does that relate to police when they're approaching a suspect or a home that could have guns in it?
When the police go to a domestic call, it's the most dangerous call they can go on.
Mm-hmm.
In your world, if they knew that there were firearms in the house, that's a safer call. Is that what you're saying?
No, because police...
Because why?
Because police treat every situation as a potential...
But more guns makes us safer. So why don't, when the police go to a house filled with guns, why don't they breathe a sigh of relief knowing that this Second Amendment that shall not be infringed is being exercised so fruitfully? What the police say, if we had gun registration, if we were able to track purchases, they have a technology that every bullet would be stamped with an individual like a fingerprint. If we had an ATF that wasn't defunded, we would be able to enforce gun laws more effectively, and we would be able to solve gun crimes more effectively. You're against all of that.
Because the person is the threat, not the firearm, not the knife.
I get it.
The person, the individual, is the one that is the concern here.
But you don't want anything that could help law enforcement or society determine whether or not a person is a good guy with a gun or a bad guy with a gun.
Most even
law enforcement. The registry would allow you to have much more effective background checks.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't understand why you won't just admit that you are making it harder for police to manage the streets by allowing all of these guns to go out without permits, without checks, and without background stuff. Why is that hard? Why can't you just stand by that?
Because that's not what I'm doing. I'm defending the individual's right to keep and bear arms.
That's a different argument.
Yes, again, this is a state senator, Nathan Dom from Oklahoma, who says, you know, he is a strict constitutionalist and a Second Amendment purist.
And it's interesting to watch this debate happen because Jon Stewart's also clearly not changing his mind. Right.
Right.
And I think this goes back to even last week when we were talking about how do you talk to people where you just fundamentally like can't get on the same page? Because even though we watch this, or many of us watch this, and be like, Jon Stewart schooled this guy. And, you know, 8-9 million people have watched this already. I don't think State Senator Dom left that conversation rethinking his stances on these things, right?
No, not at all. And probably just feels he was reinforced.
Yeah, or it was a gotcha moment, or he was lied to as far as what this conversation was going to be. Who knows? But anyways, this was, to me, because we're getting into so many of these states that the hypocrisy around, we're not going to protect kids from guns, but we are going to protect kids from drag shows, is happening. So Jon Stewart takes a turn and talks about what rights can't be infringed on, mainly being, you know, the Second Amendment versus free speech, and brings the trans issue into this.
You want to ban drag show readings to children?
To my eyes, yes.
Why?
Why can we prohibit children from voting, those under 18 from voting?
Why are you banning,
but also that?
Is that free speech? Are you infringing on that performer's free speech?
They can continue to exercise their free speech, just not in front of a child.
Why?
Because the government does have a responsibility to protect.
I'm sorry?
The government does have a responsibility in certain instances.
What's the leading cause of death amongst children in this country? And I'm going to give you a hint. It's not drag show readings to children.
Correct, yes.
So what is it?
I'm presuming you're going to say it's firearms.
No, I'm not going to say it like it's an opinion. That's what it is. It's firearms. More than cancer, more than car accidents. And what you're telling me is you don't mind infringing free speech to protect children from this amorphous thing that you think of. But when it comes to children that have died, you don't give a flying to stop that, because that shall not be infringed. That is hypocrisy at its highest order.
Yeah, it's really, highly recommend it. And it's all over Twitter. I know if you don't have Apple Plus and, you know, not a subscriber, you should be able to catch it on somebody's Twitter feed.
It's so good. And one part that we didn't include, that to me, because I've made the argument, it's like, all right, you register your car, you have to get a license to drive a car. Why shouldn't you have to get one to another? Because a car can be, as we know very much so in Wisconsin, can be a deadly weapon.
Absolutely.
And used as a weapon, and yet a actual weapon that is made to be a weapon, some people don't want it to be registered. But what he made even more simply, the argument is it a right to be able to vote? And of course, the state senator had to say yes, with certain limitations, whatever, felony,
right,
being 18. What do you have to do to be able to vote? And he listed off a couple things, and you could see, and you have to register. We'll put this in today's show notes. It's so good. This is As Goes Wisconsin. We'll be right back.
Party at the station. Ain't that news? Man, ain't that news? I can't wait to get a home where we can finally be.
When it's raining cats and dogs, your business can rain profits. Sponsoring the weather forecasts on your local Civic Media station will get your phone to ring.
Listeners pay attention to weather forecasts, and they'll pay attention to your message.
Act now, because we're slashing prices up to 50% on these premium sponsorships.
But the deals absolutely end March 15th.
Log on to civicmedia.us/weather now. That's civicmedia.us/weather. Sponsoring our forecasts is the cat's meow.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation.
Yes.
With I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which
right,
was audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP, and we're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms. Yeah.
We're the winners.
Tune in for Dueling Tangents every weekday at 2.
If you can plan barbecues and weddings, you can plan to protect yourself from a natural disaster. Sign up for local alerts, prepare an emergency kit, and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
You care for the house, the kids, and our future. A Shiro's day is never done. So let's start saving a little more now. Get free tips to help boost your retirement savings. Visit aceyourretirement.org.
Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw.
Highs around 44 this afternoon under overcast skies. Winds out of the north, 8 to 15 miles an hour. Cloudy skies expected again tonight. Lows level off around 31. High temperatures reach up to 40 tomorrow. Ample sunshine expected. Overcast Wednesday with daytime highs approaching 38. 36 Thursday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 41 degrees.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk. From Big Bend to Menominee Falls. Always streaming at WAUKradio.com.
If you're looking at a globe or a map of the world, and you want to understand it, you gotta know these hemispheres, north and south poles, equator, oceans, continents, and lots of countries. The real world is rounded just like the spheres.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matner. What song was that, Jane?
That is the geography song, Kristen Bry.
It's just called the geography song?
It's called the geography song.
All right, well.
There's a reason for
this. There is a reason, as always, with Jane's music. There is always a reason and an Easter egg and a point behind the special songs that she finds. And today's is because, you know, I think by now we all know that champagne is not champagne if it does not come from the French region of Champagne.
Exactamundo, yes.
It's Prosecco, it's sparkling wine, it is something besides champagne. And I used to be friends with someone who was French. I mean, he's still French, but his dad is like the lawyer for Champagne, France.
Seriously.
And they filed a lawsuit against Apple because at one point when one of the iPhones came out and it was a champagne color, they sued Apple so they couldn't even call it champagne. They won. They changed it to rose gold.
What?
Yes. So like Champagne France takes their trademark very, very seriously.
My goodness.
But turns out Gruyere cheese will not get that same special privilege. And so this is out of, I think, Virginia. And Gruyere can now be used as a label for cheese, even if it was made outside of the Gruyere region of Switzerland and France, a U.S. appeals court ruled.
Jeez. So they did sue.
They did sue. So it was a suit that was filed and rejected, or a claim that was rejected by two groups representing cheese producers from Switzerland and France for a mark that would restrict the use of Gruyere to cheese from Gruyere itself. And so the U.S. Patent Court of Appeals, so Virginia-based 4th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals ruled on Friday that cheese made in the U.S., Netherlands, Germany, Austria can all also call themselves Gruyere.
Bad news, Switzerland.
And so this, where my mind went with this, which is maybe a little bit of a stretch, was can Colby cheese only come from Colby, Wisconsin?
If you asked Colby, Wisconsin, they would probably say yes.
And then that immediately made me think about how every couple years, the representative, whoever's representing Colby, Wisconsin, makes an argument that Colby should be the official state cheese of Wisconsin, and then it inevitably always fails. Like, even if it gets out of committee, there's still people who are like, yeah, no, we're not picking one cheese to be the state cheese. And then it, like, the debate eventually comes up across all media outlets that are constantly looking for something to talk about. We're like, oh, here's a quintessential Wisconsin debate. What is our, if there were a state cheese, what would it be? And I guess we're going to do that right now, because I would say cheddar.
I would also go with cheddar, but I would also say we welcome all cheeses.
We do welcome all cheeses. And actually, the cheese we make the most of is mozzarella.
Which I have to say is like the least of cheeses.
You don't like mozzarella cheese?
It doesn't taste like anything.
What about like fresh mozzarella, not the shredded kind that goes on pizza, like the actual like mozzarella ball? So yeah. You don't like a caprese salad?
No.
Really?
It's tasteless.
Oh, but the texture's so nice.
It's a big squishy ball of nothing. But wow. I would go with
really disagree on this.
That's fine. Oh no, fight. Extra sharp cheddar is the way to go.
I also vary, but that's what the extra sharp cheddar is also what I associate when I think of Wisconsin. And I don't know, I mean, or a cheese curd, but that's, I guess that is a type of cheese, but it's also the form that it comes in that's very
specific. Well, it's the form.
Specific.
Yes, exactly.
But I thought this was fun, too. If you can, there's other foods that have place-based names.
Okay.
And let's see if you can guess, and everyone at home can play along, but if you can guess the country that the name originates from.
All right.
All right. So
I'm ready.
Black Forest ham.
That's Germany.
Okay. Lima beans.
Peru.
Sriracha sauce.
India.
Okay. I'm scrolling down to make sure I have all the answers. Cheddar cheese.
The U.S.
Fig Newton.
Greece.
Habanero pepper.
Mexico.
You were close. So you actually did pretty well. So one is Germany. Black Forest ham.
Okay.
Two is Peru with lima beans. Mm-hmm. Sriracha is Thailand.
Oh, I did not know that.
Cheddar cheese, England.
Really?
I guess there's a place called Cheddar, England? Ask Paul.
I will.
That would have surprised me.
I'm surprised by that. I don't necessarily associate England with great cheese.
Yeah, me either.
Although they do have lots. They have lots of cows.
United States is for Fig Newton. It was named after Newton, Massachusetts.
Oh.
I haven't had a Fig Newton in a really long time.
It's because they're bad cookies.
Man, you're really downing on a lot of things that I like this morning. Jeez, don't yuck my yum.
Don't what?
Don't yuck my yum.
Got it.
And then the last one, the habanero pepper, is Cuba.
Oh, Cuba, not Mexico.
Not Mexico.
All right.
So there you go. So check twice. If you really are a stickler to your Gruyere cheese coming from the Gruyere region of Switzerland and France,
cheese snobs.
You're gonna have to start double checking and not just trusting that it's from there, because anyone can call their cheese Gruyere going forward. It does not have to be from a specific place.
Nope.
And so
no standards anymore.
Do you like Gruyere cheese?
I do.
All right. One thing you like.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that will about do it for our first hour of today's show. When we come back, Annie Grahl is going to be here from Democrats Abroad, which, like we said earlier, is a organization that helps people living abroad who identify as Democrats, who are still voting in the U.S., get information and advocate for them as far as trying to get out the vote and make voting potentially easier for them. And so we are going to be talking to Annie when we come back. And then at 12:30, we're talking to Jesse O'Poyan and Scott Girard about the foundational level of the education funding debate that we are embarking on, what the arguments are, what the negotiating chips could be. So that's coming up at 12:30. But for now, we're going to take a break for the top of the hour news. Stick around. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
In the continents, it's divided again into many different countries, also called nations.
How many countries have you ever wondered? Count them all up. It's almost 200. Almost 200 countries.
Sing it one more time.
If you're looking at a globe or a map of the world, and you want to understand it, you gotta know these hemispheres, north and south poles, equator, oceans, continents, and lots of countries.
Hear that? If you own a business, that's a problem. What you really need is this. If you want to make your phone ring this spring, we have just the thing.
Sponsor weather forecasts on your local Civic Media station.
We've slashed prices on our premium weather sponsorships up to 50%. Tie your business message and phone number into our hourly weather forecasts and get results. But you must hurry.
This spectacular offer ends March 15th.
Log on to civicmedia.us/weather now. That's civicmedia.us/weather.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis.
every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. We talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always